We are Memorex.
Good evening.
Recorded.
I'm alive.
Recorded for posterity.
Boy.
And boy, do I feel sorry for posterity.
This is proof of life. The score report will not be silenced by coronavirus.
This whole week, I've seen this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it is the zombie apocalypse, posterity might be the truth, actually.
You know what? It's a good thing we waited a day for this.
Why? Oh,
We're recording this Friday evening instead of Thursday evening. And boy, did a whole lot of shit happen Friday.
And it's Friday the 13th.
Ooh, that's right.
So I'm waiting for Jason to come through my door.
I hear Jason is socially distancing himself.
He promised to kill fewer people so the coronavirus doesn't spread.
Right. Well, you know, he doesn't want to catch it himself. He might pass it around.
Can he? Isn't he like undead? Isn't that like part of the whole?
I don't think the virus cares.
See, because that's one of those things. You know, I hate horror movies because I would make them the shortest movies ever. Because it would be like, there's a dude with a machete attacking people. Blam, blam, blam. Let's go get a burger.
Yeah, show over.
Yeah, it's like, okay, the other hour and a half is a buddy film. Yeah.
Alan, I do think viruses care. Viruses care about things like body temperature. For instance, possums cannot get rabies because their body temperature is too low.
Well,
huh.
So
I knew they couldn't get rabies, but I didn't know that was the reason. That's
the reason.
We learned. Thank you, Brita.
Well, I just like possums.
That assumes that Jason's body temperature is cold. You know, this sounds like we're 12 years old hanging out in somebody's basement arguing.
I think every show feels like
arguing
that.
About, you know, whether Superman could kick, you know, whether Batman could kick Superman's ass or, you know, something like that.
No.
So a lot of
Superman would win.
A lot of shit happened, but I want to announce the most important news of the day.
Yes. What is it?
Bill Gates today resigned from the board of both Microsoft and Berkshire Hathaway.
Okay.
Really?
He says that it's to dedicate more time to his philanthropic priorities. However, we all know that he's going to go hide in his lair.
Who could blame him, really?
Because you know Bill Gates has a secret lair somewhere.
It's got to be in a volcano.
It's in a mountain in the middle of an island somewhere, far away from everything. And he's right there right now.
I think he's just getting away from everybody because he can.
Yeah, of course, because he can.
He's in his Antarctic lair.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of that going on. You know, all these rich people and celebrities and stuff that bought like ranches in Wyoming and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
all, like, that's
headed out.
That's not a bad idea, really.
Oh, I'd love a ranch in Wyoming.
As long as you've got several hundred million cases of toilet paper. Because apparently everyone decided that the coronavirus meant you were going to shit your brains out.
I was watching the presidential thing in the Rose Garden on YouTube while it was live. And one of the doctors actually made the comment that, you know, something like, contrary to popular belief, toilet paper is not an adequate defense against it. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah.
Well, so, I got some exciting news today.
Yeah?
Oh?
Yeah. They're closing the library until further notice.
Woo-hoo. Yikes.
And by closing, I mean closing to the public.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, I will probably have to go in at least a couple days a week. But there will be no patrons.
to take care of the books? Read them their bedtime
stories. Do you
take
them for walks?
What? Take him for walks.
Like
weed them if needed. I mean, in all honesty, it's a great opportunity for us to like get a lot of serious work done that we're, you know, day to day we're not able to do, like weeding the nonfiction collection or cleaning the shelves or you know, whatever. I dunking, know I have to.
Dunking the computers in a
vat. No, I think we should just burn those. I think those should just be burned in a fire.
That's where all the hand sanitizer went. The 55-gallon drums at the library.
We do have patrons who come in and they take some Kleenex and then they squirt hand sanitizer on the Kleenex and then they use that to clean off the computers. Okay. I am a little skeptical about how well that works, but you know, if it makes them feel better, have at it.
Well, it may help.
Whatever. But again, people are still coming in to use the computers, which even on the best of days, I don't want to touch. Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my company I work for announced a mandatory work from home policy.
You work from home anyway, Alan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I know, but they, you know, they made it official and mandatory. So everybody, you know, unless your job requires you to be on site somewhere, then you have to. And it's not like a choice. If you, they're like, if you need to come on site for, you know, you have to have like your manager's approval or something. So.
Yesterday was really weird at the library because we all kind of had this feeling like, oh boy, shit is getting real, because we had very few patrons and it was kind of like this, we're all kind of sitting there thinking, okay, what is going to happen? Like, because yesterday Ohio decided that all schools would be closed for 3 weeks and, you know, public school, we're right next to a public school. And even on regular days, we have a ton of kids in after school. And so we're thinking, like, what if we're open and the schools are closed, all the kids are going to come to the library and hang out. And suddenly we're going to be a daycare full of viruses, you know. And the situation changed, you know, rapidly over the past 2 days. And, you know, initially we decided, okay, well, we're going to cancel all programming and all of the pre-scheduled meeting rooms. And so we're going to, you know, cancel all that. But then you have to think, like, all day long, the general public is coming in and touching things and breathing on things. And it just was like this really like strange thing. I know that one library, their thought of, hey, I have a great idea. How about we shut down every other computer so people aren't sitting right next to each other? Is that really like, it has taken 2 days for somebody to come to their senses and say, wait a minute, we're a public place. We're not like essential services. What are we doing? So, you know, Ohio libraries are closing down. Not all Ohio libraries are closed and not even all of our libraries in our system are closed yet, but I think it's going to start happening.
I read the New York Public Library closed.
Yeah.
They're closing. Wow. And people started bitching about it.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
I have a manager's meeting on Monday to go in. And we're all going to sit down and talk about, and you know, going forward, what are we going to do?
Pass the virus around.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, the list... At this point, you'd be better off compiling a list of things that didn't close, because
yeah,
freaking everything is closed. You know, the NBA, the NHL.
March Madness, college basketball. Right. It's like the Super Bowl for college basketball.
First they said they were going to play it without spectators in the stands, and then they decided to just cancel it completely.
They said that is stupid.
Yeah. And then apparently baseball's delayed spring training.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to say this, is that I know that extroverts are hurting pretty bad. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? All of our events are canceled and I can't travel and I can't go to the music festival and I can't do the sporting thing and whatever the fuck they do. Like, we're all going to survive this. It's going to be okay. Like, you will live if you don't get to go to your, you know, South by Southwest festival, or Coachella, or, you know, your baseball games. Like, settle down. Just read a damn book or stay at home.
Watch your cat.
Watch a movie. It'll be okay. It's not forever. And that's the thing is if we do it now, it'll be a shorter amount of time that we're, you know. Me, I'm just happy I get to stay home. Like, yay. I have an excuse to do what I want anyway.
Stay home with the cat.
Yeah. I've got lots of art projects I need to do. And
I got a lot of yard work I need to do. I'm like,
there you go.
I get to do yard work.
That's nice, though.
Well, it's just hacking bits out of a tree. I have a tree that's growing through the fence on the side. I gotta like cut a few branches off and do some judicious trimming. Oh,
so did anybody else watch the presidential speech this afternoon?
I did not.
I did not get a chance to see it.
Well, it was interesting on a couple of levels. One is that he declared a national emergency, which is fairly unprecedented. And I'm sorry, all you right wing conspiracy nuts. They are not firing up the FEMA camps and loading people into boxcars.
No. Those are left wing conspirators.
Those are left wing.
Also,
it's Trump.
You left wing conspirators. Trump is not delaying the election and announcing that he is dictator for life. So you can relax. This is.
You can go vote for Joe Biden.
The national emergency, the declaration.
Joe Biden's reaction moved Alyssa Milano to tears. Did you see?
But the it's about getting, basically getting government out of the fucking way, because you know they have all these rules. Like the CDC has all these rules about how you can do this and how you can do that, and you know the approved, until today, the approved test was RNA based and was a very manual process and took days for, you know, to accomplish. And they could do like a few hundred tests a week. And you know, that doesn't do any good. So the national emergency was to get the government rules out of the way. They've teamed up with a company called, I think it's called Roche, which is a European company that's got some automated test that can do this thing in like hours. They're going to have drive through testing stations at like Walmarts and Walgreens and stuff like that. So basically the president stood there, he had like the CEOs of all these big companies, Walmart and Target and CVS and Walgreens and, you know, and all these labs that are going to be doing the testing. And basically the whole thing was about getting these government rules that did not work out of the way so they could actually accomplish something. So they're planning on rolling this out. They're going to have Google create a website where you can go and like list your symptoms. And if you, cause what they don't want everybody showing up at this thing going, I need a test. And, you know, they got allergies or something. So there's going to like be like a web pre-screening. And then if you meet certain qualifications, they're going to direct you to your local. Oh, we lost Jay.
Oh,
they're going to direct you to your local, drive.
That's okay. It's
testing thing.
And you're doing all the talking anyway. So anyway, it's all right.
Let me see if I can. There he is. He came back. Nope. I'm trying. There you go.
Okay, was that me or?
I don't know. I think it was you.
I have like, hello?
Hello?
I have like a brand new Xfinity modem. My phone is literally inches from it. I do not understand how this is happening. Poor connection. How can it be a poor connection, Skype?
Receiver overload.
Oh, wait. Skype. I answered my own question. So when the last thing I heard, when you were talking about Trump's speech,
yeah.
The, you know what, one of the many things that struck me about Trump's speech was what? That what happened in the stock market?
Oh, it shot up.
After now, Trump's speech?
Yeah.
Like 2,000 points.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting because earlier when the stock market fell, everyone was saying this is all Trump's fault. He's a horrible president. He's destroyed the economy. He's never going to get reelected because he did such a horrible job, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
He pulls together this press conference. The Dow goes up 2,000 points, and it's all, look at him enriching his CEO pals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
He also announced he's going to take the opportunity, since oil prices are at like a historic low, he's going to take the opportunity to open up the strategic oil reserve and start buying oil to refill it.
Hmm.
So.
Well, that was the real reason that the stock markets started tumbling. It was Russia and I want to say Iran got into a pissing contest.
Saudi
Arabia.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got into a pissing contest over the strategic over the state of oil.
Right.
Because we're no longer buying as much as we used to because we're making more.
Yep.
And that's causing them to not sell for as much.
A net exporter, and they can't. Right. They hate that because they can't. You know, we can say we don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yep.
We should join OPEC. But so immediately after the president declared a national emergency, I think a bunch of states did too. The ones that hadn't already done it. So
right.
And it's funny. It's like these national emergencies are pretty much geared to bypass stupid laws that are preventing shit from getting done.
Yeah.
You know? And I also read that the Democrats have introduced a bill to reverse the travel bans.
Oh, of course.
Because they want sick people coming into the country.
Oh, I also like how they tried to slip in federal funding for abortion into the emergency coronavirus bill.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is this huge thing that we all have to get together on and whatnot. But we had time to throw one of our pet projects in that, A, we know you hate. B, we know you're going to shoot it down.
Right.
And we can say, look at those Republicans. They can't even agree on a bill.
Look how awful they are.
Such
terrible people.
Just had to slip that in, you know, either hoping they wouldn't notice or hoping they would vote against it because, oh, look, they're, you know, they can't even vote for, you know, if they can't even vote to help get stop coronavirus because a Democrat proposed it. Like, well yeah.
They're also whining about these tests. I mean, a lot of the press questions at this thing were like gotcha questions on Trump trying to,
like,
you know. Well, isn't this all just your fault, Mr. President? You know, aren't you to blame for this? You know, aren't you going to take responsibility for all this? And basically,
when are you going to admit that it's your fault?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they would ask him like questions like, "Well, can you tell us when every American will be able to get tested?" And they're like, "Never."
Yeah.
Because the CDC doctor's like, look, the people that get tested. Like 2% of the people test positive for this thing. So we're wasting a lot of testing on people that don't need it.
Well, and it's, you know, this is a completely media driven thing.
Yeah.
You know, you look and one thing, and I see this throughout Facebook, and it's even from, you know, people I had formerly respected who are like, you know, well, I can't stand the people who are like, this is just like the flu. It's different. It's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, yes, the latency period is different. You know, and there are differences between standard influenza and the coronavirus. Absolutely. Otherwise, it would just be called the flu.
Yeah.
The end result is the same.
Yeah.
The people, most people who get it, feel like shit for a few days, and it passes.
Right.
The immunocompromised and the elderly are at risk.
Just like they are with everything.
Exactly. And you look, and this thing has been out there for over 2 months now.
Out and there, but not here.
Exactly. Well, but in China and right. Asia. And the death toll is 5,000 worldwide. Now, for those 5,000 people, it's a tragedy, no question. But 5,000 people on a planet with, what, 8 billion? I think more people die falling off of ladders. And yet the media is coronavirus pandemic. We're all going to die. Blah, blah. And they're
it's way overblown. The panic is going to cause more proportion.
Right. Getting back to when you actually the comparisons to the flu, the take home is if you're not immunocompromised and you're not elderly, if you do get it, you're going to get sick, but you're going to get better. You're not going to die. You're not going to, require extensive hospitalization. You're going to stay home. You're going to drink fluids. You're going to watch movies. You get better. And there's nothing I've seen that indicates that this is not the case. People who have had it have gone, they've given interviews where they're like, I had it. It sucked, but I got better.
Well, there are, as a percent, the problem is they say, as a percentage, more people are dying, but you can't really, they can't even say who's had it.
Right.
So how and do they calculate a percentage, Because there's so many people that, it's a cold or it's like a mild flu and they don't even report it and, blah, blah, blah. So.
And again, I haven't seen a breakdown of the numbers because if more people are dying, but it's just more elderly are dying. It's okay. Yes, it is more dangerous to the groups who are at risk.
Yeah.
So let's make more of a concerted effort to make sure they don't get infected.
Right.
But this is unprecedented levels of panic.
Yeah, that's one of the things the governor of Texas announced that he was going to limit. They're limiting visitation at nursing homes and prisons and stuff like that to try to keep the spread to compromised people down. But talking about how stupid the media is, there was a guy at this press conference that was a journalist from someplace, and he asked in a very accusatory tone, well, have you figured out why it tends to hurt the elderly more?
Are you shitting me?
And the doctor that's like, I don't know, he's like the head of the little short guy that's like the head of the CDC or something. I forget what his title is, but you could just see he was just like jaw dropping, like stunned at this question. And he was like, not to belittle your question, but we already know the answer, and it's because old people are more susceptible to everything.
Right. Again, why are they more susceptible to getting hurt in falls?
Right, and cancer and the flu and everything else because they're old. Their immune systems don't work as good. This is life. This is what everybody knows. This and how stupid are you, Mr. Journalist? I mean, he didn't say that. I am transcribing his thoughts because that's what he was thinking. What a fucking moron you are, just stupid journalist.
Like, are you seriously asking me this question?
and then.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say the. One of the funniest things was, my Facebook friends who last month were constitutional experts are now epidemiology experts.
Oh, yeah.
But the people who are like, Trump was in contact with someone who had coronavirus and he's not getting tested. What's he trying to prove? I guarantee you 10 seconds after he gets tested. Look at Trump. He gets tested while other people have to go without. Why is he special? Guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. You could. If you could find somebody to take that bet, you would make money. I don't know. But
I can't understand how this got so out of control.
The media. Remember, set the Wayback Machine to early in the Obama administration when H1N1, swine flu was going around, and tens of thousands of people were infected, and I think, what was it, 4,000 people died?
12,000.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, but in the U.S. Yeah.
Thousands of people died in the U.S., and the Obama administration basically did nothing. And the media, it was like crickets.
Yeah.
Nobody did anything. And this was, you know, it was, you know, swine flu killed a shitload of people. And the media did not, you know, I mean, you know, based on the infection rates of swine flu, if the media had treated it like they are treating it now, it right. would be the end of times. Because it infected, you know, I mean, we don't know how many people are going to get this thing in the U.S., but swine flu infected a shitload more people than are infected now with the coronavirus. And a lot more people died in the U.S. than died in China from coronavirus.
Yep.
So it was not the end of the world, but somehow this is. So they closed, they're closing libraries, they're closing schools, they're closing sporting events. The zoo, I got the zoo, the Houston Zoo closed until the end of, you know, March or something. They canceled the Houston Rodeo. NRA convention's canceled. Easter Jeep Safari and Moab's canceled. You know, basically everything that's, you know, groups of people getting together.
Everything is canceled.
Is canceled. And, you know, I mean, you know, on the one hand, maybe it's overkill. On the other hand, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody. Like Breida alluded to earlier, it's not going to hurt anybody to not go to something.
Well, yes and no, though. Like one thing I was reading was like the right down your way, Alan, the International Rodeo Festival. There's like people who that's their big thing. That's where they make their money for the year. And when it's canceled, you don't make money for the year.
Okay. Welcome to
And
life.
That's yeah. Oh yeah.
I hate to be harsh, but you know.
Well, back it up happens. A bit though. Back it up a bit, Alan. What happens? Who takes it on the chin? Your service industries? A lot of blue collar workers? People who, you know, again, putting my tinfoil hat on.
Everybody who might vote
for Trump.
Everybody.
White collar people can work from home. White collar people aren't two paychecks away from disaster.
Theoretically,
yes. A good number of them are. But this goes on in a prolonged fashion where people are quarantined.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You crash the economy, guess what? That's the one thing Trump can run on in November.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I think people were, you know, so.
I don't think.
If you know, the Democrats have been praying.
I don't necessarily believe that they're that smart, but.
No, they're not. The Democrats have been praying for a stock market crash and a recession, like, since last year.
Yes. And the downside is if we pull through this and everything's great, they're dead. They're looking at a 48-state sweep.
I think they're dead anyway because, you know, it's one thing. It's, you know, as I said to somebody today, people are woke to their bullshit. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, absent anything else, the economy tanked. Therefore, the person in charge, you know, that's he's not actually in charge, but that's what they'll say.
Right.
You know, it's all Trump's fault. However, in this case, you have a clear culprit.
Right. That originated outside of the U.S.
In China, which Trump has been going like, hey, we're too dependent on China. And so this virus thing just proves him right. And everybody knows it. And, the stock market's crashed and, you know, all this other stuff. And I think, you know, people that were going to vote for Trump a month ago before any of this happened will still vote for him in November. I don't think this is going to change anything because everybody knows that the virus escaping China and infecting the world is not Trump's fault.
Well, I don't know. But I think there's a hardcore group that will never admit that. But
oh, sure. But they weren't going
to vote for Trump anyway.
They're also voting for Weekend at Bernie.
They're voting for Dogface Pony Soldier.
They're voting for Weekend at Biden's, you know. They're already talking about canceling the remaining Democrat debates to try to limit the damage that Biden will do to himself by opening his mouth. You know, the NRA released a great video from this guy, the union beard guy who got into it. With
union
Biden
beard
got,
guy.
Yeah, Biden was like, "You're full of shit," and they released an awesome video. This guy. Yeah.
I cannot believe that Biden did that. I really can't.
I can.
On a campaign stop that his handlers didn't wrestle him to the ground.
Somebody should have yelled gun and wrestled him to the ground.
Yeah,
and
just
got him
something
out,
you know. I mean, watch this dude and just, you know, put a man on him.
Well, they probably figured it was safe. It's a union, guys, they're all Democrats, it's safe.
Jerry Wayne is the gentleman's name.
So How soon before he runs for office, Brita? What do you think?
I don't know.
Jerry, the bearded union guy? I bet he runs for office. No. He's got, you know, publicity.
He's got a real job.
We'll see. Joe the Plumber ran for office, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Unleash the full power of the federal government. Dear God, no.
How about just get them out of the way? go do something else.
How about we just stop and then we are.
I do like that his, you know, unleashing the full power of the government was like basically bypassing all the laws and letting these companies go with, you know, doing shit.
We're going to let private industry do what private industry does. Right. But you know what's hysterical, though? Is the left jumping up and down about, you know, there's all these shortages and the government can't, you know, the CDC can't process things and the government can't do this. That's why we need socialized medicine.
Right.
Back the truck up, guys. What's the problem here? The government.
Yeah.
Who do you want to put in charge of your health care? The government.
Yeah, because it's been so successful everywhere else. Italy. China.
What? They're pointing to Italy. Italy's like their shining star of, see, coronavirus will kill us all. And I'm like, guys, Italy's had like, I don't know, 50 governments since World War II. I don't know that they're the model of efficiency you seem to think they are.
Well, they're also, you know, they're also doing that, you know, triage, right? So they're doing,
yeah, oh yeah,
they're doing the thing the Democrats want anyway, which is let the old people die because they cost money.
We just shunt them out into the hallway. You mean like the British has been doing, the NHS has been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets uncomfortable. They're like, oh yeah, we're complaining because we can't make test kits fast enough because of restrictions in place from the federal government.
Right. But put the government in charge.
But yes, exactly. They certainly will. That'll fix everything. It's pretty much all coronavirus all the time, and somebody, and I don't know who it is, but damn them to hell, triggered Gen X, all Gen Xers out there, by mentioning that you can say, you know where I'm going with this, Alan. Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen, is COVID-19. Exactly. I've had that. There's another one. There's another song that got stuck in my head as a result of the. Oh, My Corona. The Knack, My Sharona.
Oh, yeah.
Someone asked Weird Al Yankovic, he was going to re-release a song called My Corona, but he said, no, it wouldn't be. He was very, very gracious about it, that he didn't think it was something that he should have a parody song about. And then somebody said, you should, because it'll go viral.
Oh, no. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that one.
That was awful.
That dad joke was just, it was too. Oh, that was the other one. MC Hammer can't touch this, you know, because you shouldn't be touching yourself. Like the woman giving the press conference where she's telling people how to avoid coronavirus, and she exhorts people not to touch their face, and then she touches her face.
Yeah.
Top men, well, women in this case.
The other one I've seen going around is the quarantini.
It's the regular martini, but you just drink it at home.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Yep.
But like I said, I don't know that there's anything different I'll do. I will not go to the sporting events.
Yeah, I wouldn't go in anyway.
Or concerts or anything for that matter. I mean, I'm like, at this point, I've survived like 7 SHOT shows, so I'm pretty much immortal. Oh, I'm sorry, 9.
Did you get the SHOT Show crud?
You know, I've been 9 times. I have never gotten it.
No. You...
I credit daycare.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
You know, my kids being in daycare. I had 2 kids. They went through daycare. They brought home every virus and germ imaginable. I got sick dozens. I'm just like, go ahead. You know, my immune system's like, come at me, bro. You know. It's over in the corner sharpening a toothbrush into a shiv going, fuck you, pal.
crap.
Speaking of toilet paper.
I was gonna mention that, my daughter works at a grocery store checkout while she's going to college. And she was telling me, you know, the stories of, She always, you know, she'll call me like at night when she's on her way home, and she'll tell me, you know, the grocery store checkout horror stories. And she was telling me that yesterday they were supposed to do like, they normally would have done like, I don't know, $30,000 worth of sales.
Yep.
And they did $90,000 worth.
Mm-hmm.
From people, you know, like trying to like stock up on stuff you know, and I see things online where people are like complaining about, I was reading the press release about the governor of Texas declaring a, you know, medical emergency and all this stuff. And then people in the comments were like, well, what are you going to do about, you know, the empty shelves in the stores? You know, I can't, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And then somebody else is like, well, if you'd stop panic buying everything, they'd be able to restock. And the person's like, well, the warehouse is like 2 miles away. How long does it take to restock? I think they're just keeping it back. And
yes, because they hate money.
Yeah, exactly. Because in a day when people are will literally buy anything they can get their hands on, the store's keeping stuff back.
We don't want to.
Yeah. And
I've been keeping tabs on our subdivision has a Facebook group, and people have been posting the local supermarkets and who's out of what, whatnot, what the lines are like. It's actually very instructive. And, you know, what floors me is that just like during a blizzard, people are buying perishables.
Why?
Like they're buying all of the fruit and all of the vegetables and all of the milk. And I'm like, you know, that stuff goes bad, right?
Yeah.
Like you bought like 14 bunches of bananas.
Right.
Unless you're really gonna eat a lot of bananas in like a week, most of those are going to go rotten. Yeah. You know, milk goes bad. And why the fuck do you need 19,000 rolls of toilet paper?
Yeah, that's the one I don't understand. The toilet
paper. Our toilet paper is one of those, you know, we've always got a ton of it because it doesn't go bad. So every time I get a coupon, I buy more.
Well, I go to Costco and I buy the giant bulk pack of toilet paper, you know, a couple of times a year, and I'm good. You know, and I see people like buying like two or three, you know, putting like two or three. I saw a guy at the grocery store the other day with a basket full of bottled water, and he's like wheeling through with this like dazed, panic look on his face, and I'm thinking.
Like the utilities are going to get shut off, you know, and again, the epidemiology does not appear that enough of the critical workers who staff your electric plants and your water treatment plants and all those, it's unlikely that enough people are going to get sick that there would be a problem getting electricity to your house, getting water to your house, getting gas to your house, that sort of thing. There's nothing to indicate that's the problem here.
Nope.
So you're going to be able to cook. You're going to have running water like you do normally.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about people whose only exposure to news is Twitter and...
Right. And now you just...
The evening news, maybe.
Twitter and Facebook.
They're panicking because all they've heard is the, you know, media drumbeat of like, you know, it's the end of the world. Everybody's going to die. Everything's closing.
And I guess, I don't know, you must see it with hurricanes. And I know Brita gets it with snow because we got it with snow in New England.
Oh, yeah.
The media loves.
Panic buying. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and just, we're going to get snow or you guys getting hurricanes or whatever.
Well, what's funny
after
is,
a while.
What's funny is you get. You. Uh-oh, we lost Brita.
Nope. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, so you get, you know, you get people that are like. You know, you see a hurricane coming and you know it's coming and the track says it might come to you. And, you know, that's the time for you to, you know, maybe stock up on a few things.
Yeah.
But people always wait until the last minute.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's I'm sure you saw it with you see it with the snow, you see it with the hurricanes, every time the floods, same thing. I mean, it's like these weather events don't happen by surprise,
right?
You always get some warning, and like, you know, in New England in the winter, I suppose you're gonna get snow. You know,
it's you're not going to lose betting that you will have a snow event.
Right. And or every, several snow, you know, events. And every time hurricane season starts in Houston and if I, you know, the entire Gulf region in Florida, you know, they do the same thing every time. Get some hurricane supplies, you know, stock, and they give you like a list of stuff, you know, get some of this, get some of that, get some of this. And invariably, when there's actually a hurricane, suddenly there's a panic.
Right. I can't explain it. I really can't. You know, maybe it's my middle class privilege that allows me to be, you know, to stockpile a little more. But the whole thing is it's really not, because I just buy a little extra of the shit that I use anyway.
Right.
And rotate it.
Yep.
It's not hard. You know, there are some things, yes, you know, milk and bread and whatnot, that you really can't do that with. You just can't.
No, you can't.
I can't keep 18 gallons of milk in the house. It's not going to work.
Nope.
I could when both kids were home, mind you. But, you know, other than that, it's like non-perishables, there's no reason not to have at least a couple months' supply. You know, paper goods, you know, plastic cups, plates, tissue, you know, toilet paper, tissues, all of that stuff. It's you get a coupon, you find a deal, you buy it cheap and stack it deep.
Well, I mean, you're also talking about people who, you know, surveys continually say couldn't come up with $100 if they had an emergency.
Yeah.
So, you know, poor planners. I mean, everybody that, you know, everybody like probably you and me. And, you know, I'm not even a prepper, because I don't, you know, I don't think there's any kind of situation where it's going to be like the end of the world and I care to live past that event, you know,
yeah,
you know, nuclear apocalypse, you know, take me. I don't really want to live past the nuclear apocalypse. I don't want to hole up in my bomb shelter in Idaho and then, you know, for 3 years and then come out and, you know, fight the hordes and, you know, I don't care, but you know, shit happens. And we've talked about this before. The most likely things that are going to affect you in your life are number one, job loss.
Yep.
Number two, some sort of severe weather event, you know, And for those two things alone, you know, lay in some supplies, like you're saying, buy a little extra, rotate.
Yeah.
That way you're covered in case something happens. And like this thing right here where it's like, I'm probably not going to leave the house for the next 2 weeks because I don't have to.
Right.
And I'm set because I don't have to go to the store for anything.
Right.
I'm good. So
I may slip out late at night to see if I can score some like lettuce and milk, you know. It's like that's really all I need.
Yeah.
You know, run up to Walmart at like midnight. But that's the other thing too, is it's not even so much that they're gonna be out of stuff, it's that I don't want to deal with the super long lines because that means people.
Yeah.
You know?
More. Yeah, exactly.
But
what I'm wondering is, will this cause any long-term changes in the way we do things?
No, it won't. I would love to see more manufacturing return to the States, but I think if we can at least ideally, the best thing I think we can hope for is that we will start to diversify where we have all of our manufacturing based in. We're not going to put it all in China, where
those days are over.
Yeah. That I think is a net good. If we've got, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there,
those good things.
Those
days are over because of shareholder lawsuits. So it was, you know, prior to now, it was perfectly acceptable for a company, you know, from a shareholder perspective, for a company to move all their manufacturing offshore to China or wherever, because it was cheap and it lets you, you know, have a good return on investment, blah, blah, blah. But now after this, Every company that was heavily invested in China is losing their ass right now.
Yep.
It has been. They're losing billions of dollars. And so the next time this happens and somebody hasn't taken this into account to adequately prepare, you know, business continuity and stuff like that, they're going to get their ass handed to them in a shareholder lawsuit. And with good reason, because it's not like you can't. Now you can say, well, it was unforeseen. It's technically wasn't unforeseen, but you know, you can make a case that it was unforeseen. But
it's no longer unprecedented.
Exactly. It's in the future. It's, you know, until another 100 years goes by and, you know, the next global pandemic happens.
Well, and one of my favorite things is China's like making noise like, oh, we're going to stop shipping you your pharmaceuticals. I'm like, you thanks. Didn't think that through, did you?
Yeah, thanks for making the point.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? You are absolutely right. In fact, we don't want them.
Yeah.
And now what happens?
Yeah, exactly. Keep them. Go ahead.
Sell them to someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, there is no one else.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, time will tell on the coronavirus if we all, you know, maybe this is the last score report because this will be the extinction event, but I
don't think so either. But I'm wondering if people like, you know how people like change their personal behaviors sometimes with traumatic events, like, you know, like your grandparents that survived the Depression were fundamentally altered by that. And, you know, they had everybody that lived through Depression had certain behaviors about, you know, keeping
it's funny and, because we were talking about that literally just tonight, Alan. My grandparents and my grandmother, even after my grandfather passed away, maintained a room in their basement where they had rows upon rows of canned vegetables and, you know, canned spaghetti sauce and canned, you know, literally. Because they went through the Great Depression.
Right.
Where you didn't have the money to buy food. So there was all these, there was tuna fish and peanut butter and stuff that kept for years.
Yep.
And exactly. And
I'm wondering now if we might be more germ phobic in the future. You know how like in Japan you see a lot of people with like gloves and face masks and stuff like that. I'm wondering if, you know, in the US it's always been, you know, people pay lip service to staying home when you're sick, but nobody really does it, you know.
Right. It's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, people go to work and they snot and sneeze all over the damn place and all that kind of stuff. I'm wondering if after this, if, you know, seeing somebody spewing mucus in public is going to be like some horrible social faux pas that, you know, people immediately scatter around, you know, something like that, where it's going to be, you know, where people will actually stay home when they're sick and businesses will be more like, less forgiving of employees that show up sick because it's, you know, because we've been through this. I mean, you can't cancel every damn thing that's happening for a month in the U.S.
and
have no repercussions. I mean, this is gonna cause a lot of problems for a lot of people, and you know, I'm just wondering if that's gonna be, you know, maybe one of the benefits we get out of this is, you know, next year when flu season rolls around, maybe people will be more careful.
Well, that, and I'm hoping that this will help ease the way to more people working from home.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of jobs that you don't need to go into the office every day.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of jobs out there where it's just status quo.
Yep.
Is the only reason you get your car and you drive to a building.
Well, that, so that you can sit, you know, in the computer. Managers like seeing people that work for them.
But you know, you can track that shit. You know, that's the whole thing, is you can track all of it. You can track productivity.
Yeah, but I personally think that a big reason that telecommuting hasn't really been as successful as it should have been, now that it's technically viable, is because a lot of people like to go into the office. There's a guy I work with who goes to the office every day, even though he doesn't have to, because he uses it to get away from his wife and kid.
Yep. There may or may not be several people where I work who are not the least bit interested in telecommuting because they're within 10, 15 minutes and their wives are staying home wives and their kids are homeschooled. So they're like, you know, they come into the office to get away from that.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm 20 miles away, which can be up to an hour with DC traffic. And there's literally no one in my house from 6 o'clock in the morning until probably 3:30 in the afternoon.
I'm perfectly happy to work from home. In fact, I probably go into the office at this point. Maybe, you know, I spent while they were getting ready to move into the new office, I worked for like a year and a half from home. And since they moved into the new office, and I theoretically have a desk there, but I never use it, I maybe go in once or twice a month. And that's and that's usually for there's like some big face-to-face meeting that has to happen.
I mean, there are things that I need to be in the building for. You know, we set up photo shoots, and you know, I need to direct that. And I understand that. I'd be happy to go in 3 days a week. You know, 2 days a week, I could stay home and absolutely crush all the writing I need to do, the editing. I'd be more efficient.
Yeah, think about the entire nation that did that.
Yep.
You know, think about how many fewer cars would be on the road.
I was just going to say, you want to really reduce the global footprint, the global warming footprint. Yeah. There you go. Like, push working from home.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. It'd be great to not have to drive in even a couple days, even one day a week.
Yep.
You know, and it doesn't have to be Monday or Friday. It's like I could take, you know, Tuesday. You know, Tuesday is my day to work from home. I go in on Monday. We start the week off. I work from home on Tuesday. And the thing is, I do a lot of my collaboration with like our contributors through Facebook Messenger.
Right.
I can do it on my phone.
Yep.
I can do it when I'm walking the grocery store aisle looking for toilet paper that isn't there. Yeah, but sorry, I had to throw that out. But you know, it's like,
I think that may be one of the big,
I wonder if this might
shift from that, because you know, like the company I work for, they had a pretty robust remote access infrastructure already, just because they have you know, tens of thousands of people around the world. They upgraded that over the last month.
Yep.
In anticipation of this, mostly because we have so many people in China that work for for the company, and they all had to work from home. So I think as soon, you know, companies are a lot more cost sensitive than maybe they used to be, and remote telework infrastructure is a hell of a lot cheaper than brick and mortar office buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, I don't know if my company's typical, but I imagine it is, as far as, you know, if you take the number of people that actually need to be physically hands-on somewhere to get their job done versus the people that just need a computer and a desk anywhere.
Yeah. And
it's about 50-50, you know?
Right.
You know, back in the days of industrial manufacturing, that ratio was probably a lot different. But nowadays, it's at least 50% of the people that work for some company don't really need to be there to do anything. And, you know, the minute big companies look at their office space costs and go,
And
how many millions of dollars we could save?
There's almost a cottage industry you could see between implementing the like VPN type software where you can be at home and you just, you know, you log in And it's like you're sitting at your terminal at work. And also, you know, you could revolutionize the office space. If you're going to the office 2 days a week, you don't need an office. You don't even need a cubicle for that matter.
You basically
need a place to sit, like almost like the banks at the airport.
Yep.
You know, you've got like the long banks of, you know, like where you plug your phone in and you can, you know, check your email.
Yeah.
You could just, not even a desk, a stool.
Yeah.
And you could put, you know, like I look at my office, you could put like five people in there. Easy.
Yeah, but they couldn't get any work done.
Well, because you have one person comes in on Monday.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
One person comes in on Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, there's
and it's, you've got...
There's people that already do that. There's a lot of places that already do something like that.
You have to work on the feng shui, Alan. Come on. You start getting the office sharing, and the concept is your office is your home.
Yep.
That's your office. You go into the building and you have a workspace for the one day a week you're actually there, or one day a month you're actually there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you have. Your office is no longer a status symbol. It's no longer a staging area.
Yeah.
It's literally, I have to come in because I have to be in a meeting, or I have to do this. I have to physically, my body has to physically be in the building. I need a place where I can check my email and hang my coat and put my coffee cup.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
Yeah, the company I work for is a very progressive Silicon Valley. You know, they were one of the first Silicon Valley companies, and they've always been sort of like that. The story is, and you can, you know, take this with a little bit of grain of salt, but everybody works at a cubicle. Nobody has an office. Even the president. Now, what he also has is a permanently reserved conference room with a giant-ass table, which is where he spends most of his time. But still, we already see a lot of that. We have office buildings where, you know, there are no assigned desks. You just show up and take whatever's there. But there are systems out there that are already working on that. They have. They have like online like scheduling software where you can say, you know, I'm going to be in the office. I'd like to reserve this, you know, spot for, you know, Thursday of next week or whatever,
right?
Stuff like that. So, yeah, I hope the bright spot, you know, that'd be nice.
It would. It'd be very nice if this helped move the telecommuting forward. Yeah. You know, if it was, you know, telecommuting, it's not just for real estate agents anymore. We are real estate agents and, you know, ad copywriters.
Right. Yeah. They've been talking about telecommuting since like the 80s. You know, it's always been one of those things, you know, it's like flying cars. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be telecommuting. And, you know, this may actually do it. I don't know. It's
going to move the needle, I think.
I think it will too. I think
that it's, you know, we don't need it right now, but this shows the utility of having that in place. Yeah. And that's the one bright side to this. If you have to look for one,
I think we'll also see. I think this is also showing the whole open border thing is kind of.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The absolute lunacy of Elizabeth Warren saying she's going to take funding away from Trump's wall and put it towards coronavirus research. I'm like, so you think it's perfectly fine to have completely unfettered access to the border?
Right.
Because you don't want the pandemic spreading.
Right. Because the free. Well, I mean, look at what happened in Europe. Russia closed their borders like in January, and they have hardly any cases at all.
Yep. Yeah, and same with Japan.
The rest of Europe still hasn't closed any of their borders, and they're inundated.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, how come Italy? Italy has all the. Well, Italy's also like the Florida of Europe.
Yeah, it's where everybody goes to die. Hey, guess what? It's been an hour.
All right.
So.
So.
If we're still this alive is the special, next week.
If we're not all dead, die in our coronavirus or Lyme disease.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see by the time we have the show next week, how many more cases there will be. That'll be
it's interesting. Statistic. Because on Sunday of this week, I went to BJ's Warehouse. For those who don't know, it's like Costco or Sam's Club, or, you know, it's a warehouse store. And there's one 2 miles away that I happen to be a member of. And we did our normal shopping. Didn't get anything. You know, we didn't get 14 giant packs of toilet paper or anything like that. Just the stuff we normally get during the week. And literally the only thing was there was a slightly longer than normal line at the checkout. I checked our neighborhood Facebook group and they're posting pictures. They're like, they're out of milk. They're out of bread. They're out of, you know, any produce in 5 days.
Yeah.
Now I kind of think that a week from now, it's going to be fatigue. People are going to be, they're just done. They're like, you know what? You know, we're not seeing tens of thousands of people dropping dead from this. It's not a big deal. I really think the American attention span, this is going to peak. We're probably approaching peak now.
Yeah.
I can't, you know,
unless the curve goes up suddenly and you have like, you know, a million people that are dying with this stuff, which is unlikely.
That's the whole thing is like, I mean, you know, you have to assume that the numbers out of China are legitimate.
Right.
That is an assumption. And I'll be the first to admit that, yeah, I'm kind of skeptical. They're already starting to close some of the hospitals they've set up.
They closed all of them. To handle the
cases. Right.
And they're opening factories back up and they're putting people back to work and they're, you know, everything's getting back online. And plus, you know, how many cases of toilet paper can you really buy?
Before
you go, I got enough.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm kind of guessing that unless we see something dramatic happen, that unless the number of cases here in the U.S. spikes, like, I mean, not, I mean, orders of magnitude.
I'm going to make a prediction.
I just don't. Okay, Alan is making a prediction, folks.
I'm going to make a prediction. Sometime in the next week or two, there's going to be some stupid thing where a whole bunch of idiots get together and go, it's a virus. It's not a real thing. And they're going to have some corona rave or something like that. And every single one of them people is going to get sick.
There's going to be like a doorknob licking party or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's going to be some stupid people that are going to be like, you know, hey, virus. And
yeah.
They're going to get together and they're going to do stupid shit and they're all going to get sick. And, you know.
Sorry, somebody, you know, the two curves for coronavirus and the whole idea is flatten the curve and
right.
You know, that you see a very sharp speed. Well, someone said you have to catten the curve and turn it into cats. Oh. One of which is standing up and the other is kind of laying down.
Oh.
And so that's the good kitty, the lazy kitty outbreak, long intervals between transmission events will help healthcare can cope. So it's very cute. There's more people posting empty shelves and empty cases and, you know, I suspect that will be an extremely temporary thing. Like I said, Sunday.
Well, yeah. As soon as people get tired of it and they let the trucks, you know, catch up with the delivering stuff and stocking the shelves. You know, I mean, my daughter sees it in the store. She goes, so people are like, how come you're out of everything? And she's like, tell them, because you're buying it quicker than we can restock.
Because people bought everything. Exactly. It's because with our we're victims of our own success.
Yeah.
With all of the technology we have available, there's no reason to keep a month's worth of inventory out back.
Right.
That's it. Realistically, outside of these bizarro cases, it's almost you're doing a disservice to sure. your customers to be maintaining a stock that's that it's lengthy. Expensive. You don't right. And you do things like shit goes bad.
Yep.
You know, stuff expires. I've run into it again at the local BJ's where I open up the dairy case and I'm staring at milk that expired 2 days ago because they've got so much of it on hand. Now they are a warehouse store, so it's a little different.
Yep.
But you know, that's the one nice thing about this, about everything being completely sold out. The best fucking time ever to go shopping is going to be right after they restock because everything is brandy new.
Yep.
You're going to get the best outdates. All of your canned goods are going to be super long. I took a look at that. You know, we buy canned green beans at BJ's because they're cheap and it's good to have kicking around. My daughter likes them. So it's good, you know, you get, you know,
oh, yeah.
vegetables.
Yeah.
The outdate is like October of 2021.
Yep.
And we bought that case probably 6 months ago. We don't have it very often. But it's just, it's good to have kicking around. I'm like, so there's no reason the next time that, you know, things are back to normal, pick up an extra case.
Sure.
It's good for 2 years. And we're going to use it.
Yeah, it's not like you're not.
And I think that's the key. It's like you can order, you know, like Mountain House is sold out. Well, that's just dumb. Don't be buying Mountain House shit to replenish your supply because that you're not likely to use. I mean, maybe you're a camper. You go camping, you do tent camping, whatever, and you are going to use it. That's different.
Well, I'm not disparaging. The time to buy the Mountain House was 2 years ago, right? I mean, I got a couple of buckets of that shit up in my pantry closet because it lasts for 30 years and it's my, you know, shit hits the fan, you know,
hurricanes dead for
2 weeks, you know.
I'm like, why, what was 2018? Were you just, yeah.
No, it's
you having just, it on hand, period. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. But now is right. not the time to be buying that stuff.
Yes, exactly. The time to buy it's a year, you know, 6 months from now when right. everyone's long forgotten about coronavirus exactly. and
right.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. It, you know, like pasta, rice.
Exactly. Buy it when you don't need it and lay it up. And
you need water and heat. That's all you need, and you've got good filling food. If you've got pasta,
you don't even need heat, really. You know, you can put that shit outside. You can put that shit outside and let the sun burn on it. It'll warm up. I've done it.
Yeah.
All that. Like, yeah, it'll cook eventually. I mean, all it's got to do is soak up water and get a little warm.
That's true. But even at that, it's like you keep. You know, yeah. I mean, I got propane.
Oh yeah.
I got a propane grill and a little burner. We're done. I can boil water.
Yep. And again, this is not, you know. This is not a service interruption. Now, there are service interruption disasters. I mean, there's, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes. There's all kinds of stuff that can cause that to happen. So, I mean, that's why every time you turn around, the people that aren't insane preppers that think they're going to have to lay in enough food to last for 20 years, you know, they're everybody tells you have enough supplies on hand that you can go for a week or two without having to go to the grocery store. Because you might not be able to.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now. You know, not having milk is kind of a pain. Like I said, I may sneak out and, you know, well, like I said, sneak out to Walmart at 2 a.m. when there's not crowds and, you know.
You can live without milk in your coffee.
Yeah. Well, it's what my kids drink. They drink milk and, you know, I have salad occasionally because it's roughage. But again, if I have to go without, I can go without. That's not the end of the world by any stretch. And, you know, am I going to make some changes? Probably. I'm probably going to pick up a couple. You know, every time I get a coupon for pasta, I'm probably going to buy a box. You know, and by box, I mean a case of, you know, 8 to, I think it's either 6 or 8, whatever.
Well, that's 'cause you're Italian and you're going to eat it anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have Wednesday's Prince Spaghetti Day. I'm not going to lie. We have it once a week. And when pasta, I mean, pasta is good. Pasta is one of those things that the outdate is like 2 years from now. Yeah. And honestly, it's I think it's that's when the box starts to deteriorate. It's not actually the pasta itself.
Right. The pasta's probably good for another few years.
Right. 2 years is, you know, that's 104 weeks. So unless I have more than 100 boxes of pasta, I'm going to use it faster than it's going to go bad.
Right.
And something tells me that if you have a box of pasta that's a couple of weeks past its expiration date, you're going to be fine.
You're not going to notice it.
Right. But, you know, it does. The thing is, it requires discipline. You've got to be disciplined to say, I need to pick up.
That leaves out three quarters of the population.
Exactly. You know, I've got to be disciplined to buy an extra box of pasta this month. And then I've got to be disciplined to pull the old pasta out, put the new stuff in the very back, and then put the old stuff in front of it.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
Right. Rotate your stock, you know, and people laugh at you for doing it. But it's like, okay, right now, who's laughing?
Who's going to the grocery store looking for toilet paper?
What did I figure? I've got like at least a solid month. We could have pasta every day for a month right now.
The Italian apocalypse. And
that, exactly. You know, and sure, I'm going to have to stretch the sauce a little bit. Well, okay, I'll live. You know, we could have
some of it will be Alfredo, you know. Hey.
Pasta for dinner and rice for lunch. And, you know, yeah, it would suck. And there's going to be some weird combinations because I've got a lot of I work with hunters. So I have like deer burger in the freezer and bear in the freezer. So we'll eat some odd meat, but we've got meat. I think I have antelope burger actually.
Awesome.
That would actually, it's one of those things I'm kind of like, well, if the supply interruption lasts more than a few weeks, we're going to have some very interesting meals because we're going to have like antelope tacos.
All right. That's probably pretty good.
I'm like, that actually sounds pretty awesome. Yeah. Not going to lie. So, all right, we're way over and I think we bored people to death with our coronavirus preparation talks, but don't stay away from groups. Don't lick doorknobs. Don't do stupid things at stupid times with stupid people. Done. There you go. There's your take-home message, your TLDR.
And we'll be back next week.
And we'll be back next week unless coronavirus kills us all.
That's right. Bye, everyone.
Night.